Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What is the impact of attempting to redefine marriage? Obviously, there's a cultural impact, but there's a spiritual impact as well. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me to talk about this issue is Matt Barber. Matt, the consequence of redefining marriage, before we get to the spiritual components of this, are significant. Same-sex marriage is an oxymoron. It is literally the abolition of gender, that gender doesn't matter to the well-being of the central core of family. And consequently, it's essentially a policy statement that says, boys and girls, you don't need moms and dads. And we know that that's going to have a negative effect, both in common sense, intuition, and even in peer-reviewed studies show that as well. We also know that there's individual health consequences from same-sex activities. And we also know that there's a specific and direct immediate threat to religious liberty. And we can go on and on about that, where Catholic charities can't do adoptions in Massachusetts, or the baker out in Oregon can't bake for weddings, or the photographer in New Mexico can't photograph for weddings unless they participate in affirmed same-sex union. So that's going to happen. That is happening. But in addition to all of those, the family breakdown, the marriage breakdown that we see happening in the Netherlands, the individual health consequences, the harm to children, and the religious freedom, we also see that there is a spiritual component to this as well.
Yeah, Matt, the idea of so-called same-sex marriage, first of all, not only is it a complete violation of natural law, is it just ridiculous on its face. The reality is that it's an example of man shaking his fist at God and saying, we know better than you do. We're going to redefine that which you created, something that cannot happen, yet here we are in our finite capacity trying to do that. You know, Christ himself reaffirmed in Matthew 19 what marriage is. In the beginning, God made them male and female, and that's it, and that's what marriage is. But here we have this rebellion rooted in the philosophies of moral relativism, so-called progressivism. They somehow imagine that it's progressive to deconstruct the institution of marriage and try to say that it is something that it's not. That can't happen without consequences. God will not be mocked.
And let me be very clear. We are not hateful against any person. God created every human being in his image, and every human being, no matter what stage, style, stage of life, color, creed, is created in the image of God, and they are entitled to respect as a human being created in God's image and entitled to dignity as well. But we also believe very clearly that not only biblically, but part of the natural created order, because it predates any civil government, and it predates religion. It's not created by government. It's not created by religion. It's part of the natural created order, that there is male and female, the complementary nature of the sexes, the union of the sexes of opposite sex to come together to form the first family, the very, very bedrock of society through which human beings are created and reared and nurtured in the best environment with a mom and a dad is essential. And to try to pretend otherwise is wrong and wrongful. Now, the fact of the matter is that even by us saying marriage is the union of a man and a woman, someone will accuse us of being haters.
Yeah.
That is an observation, just like you observe gravity. It is what it is, and it's an obvious, objective observation. This issue of marriage as the union of a man and woman has spiritual connotations in many respects, and we can elaborate a little bit more about those spiritual connotations.
Yeah, well Matt, Scripture is very clear that homosexual conduct, people who have same-sex attractions, that in and of itself, we all have various sin temptations. We are to love those individuals, and we do. However, when you call evil good, and homosexual conduct is demonstrably and explicitly throughout both the Old and New Testament called sin. And when you have a sin-centered redefinition redefinition of marriage and the government puts its official stamp on sin. You have the government blessing sin. Well, sin cannot be blessed. It cannot be sanctified. And with that, you're tempting the wrath of God here by doing such a thing. Real quickly, I want to read 2 Timothy 3:1-3:5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. You think of, gay pride marches, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Okay, the opposite of natural affection, unnatural affection, truce breakers, and on it goes. Matt, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is kind of a snapshot of where we are today in the United States, but it also creates aligning the government against those who respect and honor and recognize objective morality as given us by God.
Well, in fact, Romans chapter 1 speaks about judgment that comes upon a people. And it begins by saying that people claiming to be wise, they're actually fools. They exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man. And it goes on, God delivered them over to their cravings of their hearts, to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve something created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. That is why God delivered them over to degrading passions, for even their females exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The males in the same way also left natural relations with females and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Males committed shameless acts with males and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their error, and because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what is morally wrong. And it goes on. It really speaks about what happens when a people ultimately rejects God and God's authority. When you go back to Genesis, God created human beings in His own image as the highest created order, brought them together as man and wife, and procreation was part of that. So it has a unitive component where the two becomes one. The scriptures say that in both the Old and New Testament. Jesus says that marriage is between a man and a woman, and He affirms that. And not only do you have this unitive component, which is different than any other relationship, brothers and sisters don't become one, moms and daughters don't become one, your friends, but with marriage, it has this unique unitive component. Secondly, it has a procreative component, because it's only through the union of a man and woman that procreation of another human being is created in the image of God. And finally, Ephesians chapter 5 speaks of the spiritual component. It speaks about husbands and wives and the relationship and how that helps us understand Christ's relationship to His church, to the people that He died and loved and gave His life for. And then it says, I'm speaking of a great mystery. I'm speaking of Christ and His church. It has this spiritual component to it as well. You can't just simply try to deconstruct God's natural created order without consequences.
And furthermore, it's an affront against children and the rights of children to create this counterfeit family idea where two men or two women intentionally deny children their mother or their father intentionally. That is a sin against the child. And it's selfish. It's adult selfishness.
It really is, because as a policy matter, when you're putting this at a government level and you're saying this relationship we're going to protect, and we're going to protect it so that people even aspire to become part of that relationship, it is a genderless relationship. It is a relationship in which children will be permanently deprived of ever having the opportunity of a mom and a dad. That will be harmful. We can't do that to our future generation. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Ask for the book Judicial Tyranny. That's lc.org. Again, the book is Judicial Tyranny. You can call 800-671-1776. This is a cultural battle line. And Brett Hume said the battle is over. That's absolutely nonsense. Is the battle over with regards to Roe versus Wade when life is at issue? I mean, there's certain times when the battle is over, but when you're talking about something so fundamental as life or marriage, the battle is never over. It doesn't matter which way the political winds, or in this case, the judicial decisions go. This is a cultural dividing line. This will be a line that divides those who are weak-kneed from those who are not. This is a time for people of faith and morality to stand firm. On our watch, we must stand for the created order of marriage as the union of a man and woman. Stand with Liberty Counsel. Continue to pray for this ministry. Go to lc.org or call 800-671-1776.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.